Good morning. Merry Christmas. This is the first Sunday of Christmastide, the season between Christmas Eve and Epiphany, which we will celebrate next week. I hope that you will bring a gift for our Epiphany gift exchange and be here again on that Sunday. But today we sit in that tension between Christmas Day and Epiphany. Our scripture is going to fast forward us a little to just after the visit of the wise men. But I'm glad that you are here this morning to celebrate Christmas together. Christmas isn't over. We're going to continue to celebrate, and I'm glad that you are here. We welcome everyone here, no matter what you do in your jobs or in your free time. We are glad that you are here this morning, and let us worship together.
We're going to start this morning with singing three carols of joy. If you're using your hymnal, they follow right behind each other, 269, 270, and 271, starting with "How Great Our Joy." Let's stand together as we sing our songs of praise to God.
Joy, 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 joy just like I was concerned maybe nobody was going to come down front to join me. I was afraid nobody was going to say good morning back to me. Thank you. Did you have a good Christmas? Is it still Christmas? Well, kinda. You're right, kinda. And Pastor April reminded us about that just a minute ago. So it is still Christmas. But I've got kind of a non-Christmas question for you. Have you ever been to the dentist? Oh, okay. It's a good reason. Well, why do people go to the dentist? Why? Get their teeth cleaned. Any other reasons? To check for any cavities. What happens if a cavity goes really bad and wrong?
It can make a hole in your teeth.
It can make a hole in your teeth. Does it ever hurt? It can. You can end up with a bad toothache, can't you? That's right. You have to get a filling, or if it gets really bad, you have to get it pulled. Well, when you went to the dentist, how did you get there? Car. Well, who took you in the car? Oh, mothers and dads take you in the car. Or grandparents might take you.
Aunts.
Or aunts, that's true. So lots of different people in the family might take you in a car. Well, how would you get to the dentist if you didn't have a car or everybody was working? You could walk if you were close enough. You might be able to ride a bus, or if you were old enough to do that by yourself. If you were close enough, you might be able to ride your bike, or if you knew how to get there. But what if there was nobody to take you? It was too far away, and you didn't have any money to pay for the dentist. Your teeth wouldn't be very good. You'd have some big problems. Well, when we hear the scripture this morning, we're going to hear Pastor April talk about time in Jesus' life when he had to do something, or his parents had to do something, a very different way to help keep him safe, too. But this morning, well, why am I going to be asking you to do something to help this morning? It's Pocket Change Sunday. Do you have change in your pockets? You have some in your bag. Well, some people have change in their pocket, and some don't. And some have quiet money in their pocket, and some don't. That's a hint, by the way, a very big one. Sometimes we do things different ways to make it work right. And this morning, the pocket change is for people who can't always do things the way we're used to doing them, like going to the dentist in our own car or somebody else's car with a family member taking us. We just have to do something a different way, just like Mary and Joseph had to help Jesus a different way because that's what God told them to do. Well, who can tell me, if you've heard ahead of time, how the pocket change is going to get used today? Any idea? Well, that is pretty close. Everett said homeless people who don't have money. Well, this is for folks who have a home, but they may not have a way to get to the dentist or the money to pay for a dentist. Right, so this money is going to help pay for a special van that's going to bring dentists and the dentist supply to Cedar Point apartments, where sometimes people are living where they may not have their own car or the money to go to a dentist or the time to get off to go. And so the van is going to bring dentists, and our money is going to help pay for the van and pay for some of the supplies that the dentists use. And the dentists are going to help out by volunteering. They're just going to give their time. But there's some supplies they have to use that cost money, and it costs money to run the van. So that's what this money is going to do today. And you're going to be the helper by picking up from folks the noisy change and the quiet pocket money. and all of it can go in here. And I would like each of you to please take one of these buckets, if you'll pass them around, so I don't drop them. And before you leave to go get the money, I'd like for us to please say a prayer that God will bless the money that people will put in here. Dear God, we thank you that you show us different ways to take care of each other, just like you showed Mary Joseph and the people around them. And thank you now for dentists and other people who give and share to make the world so much better. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, you can scatter around the church and gather up the money. And we're going to have some go over this way, too. Pastor April's pointing.
O God, our loving creator and sustainer, we praise you for your infinite majesty, and we bow humbly before you, confessing our many weaknesses and acknowledging our unworthiness. We thank you for your boundless mercy and grace. In this special season, we celebrate the coming into the world of your Son, Jesus, to confirm your love and promise of salvation for all mankind. May we share our joy in that promise to a world that is still today full of darkness, conflict, and great suffering. May we, as your people, help to feed the hungry, care for the sick, troubled, imprisoned, neglected, lonely, and unloved. Shelter the homeless, welcome the desperate refugee, and provide safety for the politically oppressed, imprisoned, troubled, lonely, unloved, all those who live in the dark shadows of humanity. As we reach out to these, may we ask your protection for all those who have sacrificed much to serve in the military, in the far-flung places of this world, as well as those serving in law enforcement and other public service in our midst as they face great danger and risk their lives on a daily basis. With your strength, may we comfort their pain and distress, ease their burdens, and light a path forward for them, even as you have for us. We pray for the leaders of other countries, our own nation, state, and local governments. May they exercise wisdom, compassion, and humility in making difficult choices and be accountable to the common good of humanity rather than to special or selfish interests. May they strive for peaceful solutions that end conflict and oppression throughout our world by building bridges of trust rather than fortifying barriers of suspicion. As we work together for peace, may we also, as faithful members of the body of Christ, likewise seek out and persevere on the difficult path to reconciliation in our everyday dealings by respecting the aspirations of diverse peoples and cultures, by listening with empathy to viewpoints we may not well understand, and by engaging even with enemies in often difficult conversations. May we work diligently and with great patience to resolve the complex problems of our workplaces, schools, and neighborhoods, our nation, and our world. We pray for our church, its leaders, and its members to be faithful to the sacred trust you have given us, by seeking your constant guidance and counsel as we minister to the immediate needs within our church family and the surrounding community. Help us to revitalize a vision for our combined ministries, which embraces tolerance, kindness, healing, and reconciliation. As we begin to return to the daily routine of our schools and workplaces in the new year, immersing ourselves in the familiar busyness of our lives in the new year, may we also keep our spiritual senses alert to the many needs in our midst. We pray all this in the name of your Son and Savior, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
As we continue in worship, let's turn to hymn number 259, Angels from the Realms of Glory, and sing another familiar Christmas carol as we worship our Lord. Let's stand.
Threshold of a new year, reflecting back on 2019, our faithfulness has not always been what it should have been. We know the year ahead of us will present many new challenges and also new opportunities for serving you. And for that, we are grateful. May the giving of our gifts this morning represent our commitment to be your people, filled with compassion, mercy, and love for our neighbors, both near and far. It is in the name of your Son, Jesus the Christ, that we pray. Amen.
Today's scripture comes from Matthew chapter 2. 2, verses 13 through 23. Now after they had left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you. For Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night, and went to Egypt, and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I have called my son." When Herod saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, he was infuriated, and he sent and killed all the children in and around Bethlehem, who were 2 years old and under, according to the time that he had learned from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what had been spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, wailing and loud lamentations, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be consoled because they were no more. When Herod died, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up and take this child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who were seeking the child's life were dead." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was ruling over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And after being warned in a dream, he went away to the district of Galilee, and there he made his home in a town called Nazareth, so that what had been spoken through the prophets might be fulfilled. He will be called a Nazarene. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Staring into the face of my Savior, King and gonna look back on this, the night that God became my baby boy. Someday you're gonna go home again, but you'll leave your spirit and flood the world with joy.
But the days between Christmas and the New Year are some of my favorite. Life seems to move a little slower. Visits with family and friends are more plentiful. There are leftovers and sugary confections at every turn. Many of us save vacation days and take an extended break from the day-to-day grind of work. Movies, adventures, board games, and puzzles, and naps fill our days. For some, these days are spent taking down the decorations of the season, while others spend these days savoring the last days of the lights, the ornaments, and the decorations. In my house, the decorations tend to stay up for quite a while. I think my record might be the end of January. Some might think, Some might think that this is because I'm a procrastinator and I just don't want to put forth the effort to put everything away. For those of you who know me really well, you might think that it's my fear of heights and the thought of someone falling and how I want to avoid hoisting very large, heavy boxes up a ladder into the attic. But the truth is, I love the feelings that Christmas brings. The together time, the shared love between family and friends, even strangers. Christmas brings out the best in humankind and has everyone doing good deeds just for the sake of kindness. The Scrooges and Grinches of the world soften a little and discover joy. Hope and peace feel a little more attainable at Christmas. I think that there's a part of me that fears when the decorations and the trimmings of Christmas all get packed away, somehow the feelings of Christmas that I love so much will get packed away too. I just want to hold on to Christmas and all that goes with it as long as I can. Almost always, the first decorations to come out and the last decorations to be packed away in our house are our manger scenes. We have a few. But my new favorite is a simple driftwood set that reminds me of the humble and rustic scene that I imagine as the birthplace of Jesus. In my mind's eye, I picture the birth of Jesus as a peaceful and serene place, even with all of its humility and rustic nature, with mom and baby surrounded by the sounds and the smells of a stable. Somehow it still seems quaint and perfect and peaceful to me. But as I was preparing for today's sermon, I was reminded that the world Jesus was born into was just as chaotic, just as confused, and just as in need of love as our world today. Scripture tells us of his unusual birth. the shepherds who were visited by angels in their journey to the manger. We hear of how the shepherds spread the good news of Jesus' birth as they returned home. Scripture tells us little else until the Magi, or wise men, as they are often called, set off from the east to follow a star that they were certain signified that someone great was born. The manger scenes that adorn our mantles and our tables would have us think that there were only a few days or weeks between the visits of the shepherds and the wise men, and that somehow they all gathered together to worship the newborn king lying in the manger. But history tells us that there were likely a couple years between those two visits. Scripture gives us very little insight into those years. We can gather that life settled back into a more mundane routine, and that the Holy Family became part of the normal fabric of Bethlehem. Along their journey, the Magi stopped to ask Herod to direct them to the new king of the Jews. Herod seemed to be completely caught by surprise, as are the people of Jerusalem. Herod has to call his high priests and scribes to learn of the prophecy that foretold the birth of the king to the wise men. As they made their way to Bethlehem, the wise men were likely expecting a palace, a place of splendor, or at least something more indicative of a king. Yet the star leads them to a humble home. Nothing spectacular other than that star that no one else really even seemed to notice. There are no signs that the world around Jesus understood who he was and what he would mean to the world. Herod was furious when he learned that the wise men had tricked him and that they had traveled home a different way rather than returning to tell him where this new king could be found. His fury resulted in a massacre that left mothers and fathers weeping for their children and left Mary and Joseph fleeing in the dark of night to save their child. My serene image of a quaint manger scene glowing in the light and love of peace is suddenly dismantled and replaced by a dark world that is consumed with fear and trembling, while a power-greedy leader seeks to hide his insecurities by wielding power greater than he should be allowed. It's honestly hard for me to imagine a scenario as horrible as this one. As a parent myself, I can't imagine the lengths that I would go to in order to save my child. Mary and Joseph did what any of us would do. They left quickly with only what they could carry and began what is sure to have been a harrowing journey. Through the dark of night, they race against time, seeking refuge from the leader who wants nothing more than to take their child's life from them. They head toward Egypt as the angel directed them, but Egypt itself wasn't known as the most peaceable kingdom around. Yet they were willing to take a chance, to rely on their faith once more, and to place their hope in the messenger that God had sent to them. I can't imagine the fear in their souls and the worry in their minds as they made their way. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't do a lot of foot traveling at night. But I have spent a few nights hiking the Appalachian Trail. This experience taught me a few things. First, the sounds of nature seem to be louder once the sun goes down. The crickets and frogs and owls speak clearly through the night air. Even my own footsteps landing on the ground seemed to be audible. I wonder what Mary and Joseph heard along their journey. The second thing that a few nights on the trail taught me is that the stars of the sky offer more light than I ever gave them credit for. Many of you know that I am remarkably directionally challenged, and the Appalachian Trail was no exception to this. So as I trudged along my journey that was taking far longer than expected, I was comforted and amazed by just how much light those tiny stars provided. I imagine that God guided Mary, Joseph, and Jesus in much the same way. Stars to light their path as they journeyed toward hope. God, embodied in that sweet little one, had put those very stars in the sky. And now they broke through the darkness and gave light to weary souls. The years in Egypt between this night and Herod's death that allowed a window of return are another quiet spot in our scriptures, with no real mention of Jesus' early childhood there. I have to wonder what life was like for them. Refugees in a foreign land, praying that they might remain safe and hidden from the one whose greatest hope was to cause them harm. Did they ache to return to their homeland? Did they live in constant fear, always ready to flee again if necessary? Did they pay close attention to their dreams as to not miss the next message from God? I honestly can't place myself in their shoes, as I've never lived with that kind of danger lurking so closely to me and my family. But there are many who can identify with this feeling all too well. Our world is full of those whose nights are filled with worry about how to protect their children from an oppressive government, ready to flee at any moment for a chance to live more peaceably. Still, there are others whose nights are filled with the sounds of violence at the hands of their neighbors, always wondering who the next victim of this senseless violence will be. Others' dark nights are filled with worry for family members and loved ones who are struggling to find peace within themselves so that love can find its way back in. For some, the darkest nights are filled with loneliness, longing for love lost or not yet attained. Gut-wrenching, fear-filled worry fills the hearts of those who love someone who is sick, and fills their nights with the darkness that often seems impenetrable. At some time or another, we all have dark nights. Some of those nights seem darker and longer than others. Yet even in the darkest of nights, there's light present. Sometimes it's a little harder to see, and the warmth from the light is a little harder to feel, but it's there. Christmas always reminds me of this ever-present light. You can drive down nearly any street around here and find lights decorating the houses and the neighborhoods. I love the lights of Christmas. I enjoy the quiet moments sitting in front of our Christmas tree at home. I love driving around to see the houses lit up with the glow of Christmas, from the humble lights to the ones worthy of their own HTV special. I love them all. Thursday, David and I stopped in Window to observe the Lake Myra lights. I'd heard so much about them and wanted to see what all the chatter was about. I was amazed at this giant display, the lights choreographed to the music, all quite spectacular for a small town. While there, I heard the story of the four candles for the first time. Candles made up of tiny Christmas lights helped illustrate the story. If you haven't heard it, the story goes like this. Four candles burned slowly. They shone so softly that you could hear them speak. The first candle said, "I am peace, but these days, nobody wants to keep me lit." Then peace's flame slowly diminished and went out completely. The second candle said, "I am faith, but these days people believe they no longer need me." Then faith's flame slowly diminished and went out completely. Sadly, the third candle spoke, "I am love, and I haven't the strength to stay lit any longer. People put me aside and don't understand my importance. Sometimes they even forget to love those who are nearest to them." And waiting no longer, love went out completely. A child entered the room, saw the three candles no longer burning, and the child asked softly, "Why are you not burning? You're supposed to stay lit forever and ever. Then the fourth candle spoke gently to the little boy. Don't be afraid, for I am hope. And while I still burn, we can relight the other candles. With shining eyes, the child took the candle of hope and lit the other three candles. I don't really know where that story came from, but as I stood there listening, I couldn't help but realize that Jesus embodies hope from his humble entrance into the world in a stable to the dark of night journey. Jesus was the light that brought hope to a weary world. Just as Christmas isn't over on December 26th, the story of hope doesn't stop with the midnight trek to Egypt. That baby who himself embodied hope, that could reignite the world with love and faith and peace, grew, and he shared that hope with the world. Jesus is the light of the world that can penetrate even the darkest of nights. So as you pack up your decorations this year, I encourage you to find a light that you can leave out all year long as a reminder of the true light that is always with you, ready to guide you on a journey. And when you have the opportunity, share that light with others who are in their darkest of nights.
This is our time of response. If you would like to speak with one of the pastors here, or if you feel God leading you to join the family here at Greystone, or if you have any other decision you'd like to share with someone, this is our time to do that. As we sing together our carol of response, Love Has Come, number 256 in your hymnal. If you're able, let's stand together as we sing.
Of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Take a moment and share that peace with those around you. so glad to have worshiped with you today. Thank you for being here. A few notes as you leave this place. Greystone is an amazing fellowship of wonderful disciples who come together and accomplish far more than can ever be imagined or hoped for. But we are not magic. It is not magic church. And someone has to put away all this stuff. So if you would be able to help the worship team, I think that they are going to be working on January 1st and January 4th. If you would see Mitzi Glazier, she'll be glad to give you all the information. Many hands make light work, and so if you can help in this task, we would appreciate it. Also, next Sunday is the Epiphany Gift Exchange. What, you say? Oh, my goodness. Last year we did this. It was so much fun. It's a way for us to celebrate the Magi coming to greet the child Jesus. Bring a small gift. Now, it can be edible or not edible. It can be purchased. It can be made. It can be regifted. Just bring a gift and share it with your congregation. And then you'll take a gift home. And what is most important in all of this is the gift of this fellowship and the gift of the Christ that we find in and in between each other. I will let you know that the office is closed, but we will be open on January the 2nd, which is a Thursday. So I am reoriented to a calendar now, and January 2nd, the office will be open on Thursday. Also, next Sunday, we will worship at 8:45 and 11. So join us in the new year. Come to worship, bring a small gift, and let's celebrate Greystone.
Let's sing together our ascending song, Go Tell It on the Mountain.
Brightest of days and your darkest of nights. May it shine brightly for you and through you. Amen.